thrilled to be in the story in any capacity whatsoever. And to be a part of your story through these years has been a privilege of Nazarene Bible College. And if just so you know, the people that you see on this screen who work for NBC, we give our life to this work joyfully because it's a privilege and an honor for us to devote our lives to serving you, because through you we're touching the whole world. And every person that you lead to Jesus, every disciple that you're a part of making, every worship service that where you're a part of heaven and earth coming together for a few moments in people's lives, we get credit for some of that stuff. So remember us. Remember that there were these people along the way that that helped set you up to do the meaningful, eternally valuable work that you're being set up to do. We don't get all the credit, you don't get all the credit, and God gets all the glory. But we are really, really privileged and honored to be a part of your journey. And we are excited to be able to honor you today in these moments. One thing in ministry is that you're around a lot of really good people, most of whom will say consistently very kind things to you. But you're not often recognized for being really good at what you do. You don't often have a moment where you have a sense of completion, like you can wrap something up and tie a bow on it and say, "There, I did that, and that was the result." And so this is one of those moments that you get to hear, kind of ahead of eternity, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I hope this will find a place deep inside your heart, and you will maybe even allow it to get you through some of those seasons where you're not hearing it very often, but it's still true. And there will be seasons like that in ministry where you don't hear "well done" very often, but it's still true because you're still being faithful, you're still serving, you're still bearing fruit. And that'll get you need something to get you through between those moments when people are giving you a pat on the back and a compliment. You need to remember back, yeah, God called me to this, and he and other people have seen in me the qualities, the gifts, and the graces that are that are sustaining in ministry. So thank you for allowing us to be part of your journey. And we're going to ask, I believe, Dr. Like to start us off. I'm sorry, Will Mackey is going to start us off.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. This morning, I have the privilege of introducing the General Superintendent's Scholarship Award recipients this morning. First, a few words about that scholarship fund. The General Superintendent's Ministerial Scholarship Fund was created for Nazarene students attending Nazarene colleges who are called into the preaching ministry. Its primary purpose is to encourage undergraduate ministerial students to be actively preaching as they pursue their ministerial training. And this program seeks to assist schools in the development of a generation of preachers who are inclined toward evangelistic outreach. This year, we have two wonderful students receiving this scholarship award, Reverend Lynn Marie Housel from the Oklahoma District, who is also enrolled in the Pastoral Ministries major, and Reverend Christopher Crook from the Colorado District, who is enrolled also in the Pastoral Ministries major. So welcome to you both. Lynn Marie, we'll start with you. Would you show us your award certificate? Do you happen to have that there where we could take a quick peek at that? There you go. Woohoo! Good job. Good job. Lynn Marie serves in Compassionate Ministries at New Day Church of the Nazarene in War Acres, Oklahoma. She is passionate about winning the unsaved to Christ, caring for the underserved population in her community, and for the, of course, faithful preaching of God's word. Lynn Marie, a couple quick questions, if you would, and we'd just love for you to take a few moments and share. What is one of your favorite things about your current ministry opportunity?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. It is an immense honor and an absolute privilege to be selected for this scholarship fund. I personally love about compassionate ministries, particularly where we go out and we find groups of the homeless people to give them sack lunches, to talk with them and get to know their name, get to know what their aspirations are to get off the streets or not. Is the full circle that I get to see of God's goodness. As someone who for several years very intentionally walked away from the church, I did experience homelessness as well for a time. And so being able to be in the position now where I am driving down the road and I get to hear Jesus' voice say, stop at Taco Bell and get two meals. And the next person that you see on the corner, stop and have lunch with them. It is an absolute miracle to me in which I get to see the full circle of God's goodness and the power of Him answering prayer. Because I am the result of a family who would not let my name be ignored in the courts of heaven. I was interceded for perseverantly to the saving grace that God gives.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Marie, thank you. I'm soaking in that for a few minutes. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful testimony. Lynn-Marie, one other question, if I could. Just love to hear a little bit about your experience as an MBC student. Maybe what's a favorite thing you like about being an MBC student or a favorite experience maybe that you've had?
I think the best thing that I like about MBC is the fact that with it being online, I get to have connections with people that I probably wouldn't be able to have connection with ordinarily. I live literally less than 2 miles from SNU, and it's a great university. I grew up in the shadow of MNU when it was still Mank. And so knowing our universities and the experiences that those bring, the unique aspect of this is I have friends in Colorado and in Oregon and Idaho and in New Hampshire that I speak to on a regular basis and discuss class topics and as well as our interpretations and testing things and thoughts as to whether they're within our doctrine and interpretation within the Nazarene Church that I don't think I would have if I were just sitting in a classroom getting a lecture. So I really enjoyed that aspect, as well as I've had the privilege of having Dr. King and Dr. Powers both as professors and the interaction that we get from this aspect of being online, it is quite unique and different than what a in-house setting would bring. And it's one that I appreciate.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for Lynn-Marie for sharing that. We're so glad you're a part of this MBC family. Thank you for those words. Well, Chris, good morning to you as well. Good to see you here. Chris, could you show us your award certificate? Just
absolutely.
Just so we can give you a round of applause here. Good job. Yes. Woohoo. Good, good, good. Good, good. Well, Chris currently serves as associate pastor at Life Community Church in Security Whitefield, Colorado. And he is passionate about assisting believers in experiencing the true worship of God and discipling believers. And of course, for the faithful preaching of God's word. Chris, take a few minutes and share with us along the same lines as we asked Lynn Marie, what's one of your favorite things about your current ministry opportunity?
So one of my favorite things about my current ministry is that I'm currently leading our worship service, and I'm going to try not to break down here. We have a bunch of families, new families coming to church, and we have all these children that are within our worship services, and we've allowed the opportunity for them to participate in the services, whether in the sound stage or interacting with the worship team. And seeing the children able to worship and be comfortable to truly participate is one of my favorite things. We had she's probably in between 1 or 2 years old, just a little kid, barely knows how to walk up in the middle of service during worship, and she lights up every time she hears us praising God. And this little kid raises her hand to praise God in the middle of service.
Man.
That's one of my favorite things, is seeing people saved and sanctified, and then their families truly transformed, and the children just coming up and being raised in that.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That is special. Very special. Well, Chris, a second question, if I could. Tell us a little bit about your experience as a student at NBC. Maybe one of the favorite things about that, or an experience that you've had there.
Well, one of my favorite things about NBC is the online aspect. I know Lynn's been in my class a few different times, and I've probably shared a handful of classes with the professors that are present in this room today. And my favorite thing is being able to engage in those conversations with people I know I would never have the opportunity to engage with. Especially with the professors, I am so grateful for their equipping of us, equipping the brothers and the sisters and the sainthood for every good work. I can't thank you guys enough, guys and gals, enough for everything that you've done for me and for the other students. It's just a powerful statement to what NBC is doing and moving forward. I can see great things coming out of the ministry, coming out of the students that are fervently striving to learn more and to give God all the glory.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. Thank you for those words. So, well, congratulations to you both. And thank you both for your commitment to Christ and to his kingdom. And of course, for being part of the NBC family. Thank you so much. And Dr. Powers, I think it's over to you.
Yes, thank you. Lynn and Chris, it's good to hear you and hear your voice instead of just see your writing. So it's a nice aspect of this type of meeting as well. So it's my pleasure to be able to award the Evangelism Award. And so let me just explain a little bit about what that is, how that has been set up. So the Evangelism Award is provided by the Chick Shaver Center for Evangelism. Dr. Chick Shaver has been a commissioned evangelist in the Church of Nazarene for many years. He was the professor of evangelism at Nazarene Theological Seminary until he retired in the year 2000 after 30 years of teaching. It's a special privilege for me to present this award because I, along with several other people who are on this screen, had the privilege of sitting under Dr. Shaver's teaching while I was a student at Nazarene Theological Seminary. The Chick Shaver Center for Evangelism recognizes the importance of highlighting evangelism among our pastors and people. Therefore, they have established this Evangelism Award for a graduating senior or a student entering his or her senior year who shows the greatest concern for and effectiveness in teaching lost people for Christ. The recipient of this award received Chick Shaver's workbook and DVD presentation entitled Witnessing Without Fear. The recipient also receives a cash award of $200. It's my pleasure to present the Evangelism Award for the academic year 2023 to 2024 to graduating senior Melinda S. Hain. So congratulations, Mindy, for this award. We're very proud of you. So just a couple questions, Mindy. First of all, I know that you've lived in Colorado. As a matter of fact, Susan was telling me that you and she knew each other quite well and did a lot of things together. And so would you just kind of tell us where you went from Colorado and where you're at now and what church you attend and what kind of ministry you're involved in?
Yeah, well, first I just want to say thank you. I am so honored to be recognized in this way. Susan and I and others on this call, Tim, we knew each other from a very early days in my first calling. My calling received in 1997, and my husband and I were attending Nazarene Bible College on campus. And so we lived there in Colorado Springs until he graduated. And I was a little slower to the game and learning and clarifying my calling. And so my journey through NBC started educationally in 2004. And it has still taken me this long with ministry and family needs. And so I am so grateful for this opportunity to finish what God has really been able to lead me through. And so I currently serve on staff at Brookings Church of the Nazarene as a leadership development pastor. And so what that means is I have the opportunity of coaching and mentoring the pastoral staff and ministry leaders in creating a team environment in their ministry, in shared ministry. And it is a rural area, a coastal town. And I never thought I'd get to live close to the beach, but my back door to the beach is about 650 steps, which is pretty awesome. So it's a beautiful place. And God has just taken us to some amazing congregations. And it is just a really sweet place to be.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I often point out to students, because we have these conversations that come up all the time at graduation time, of how long students have been studying before they graduate. And I'm always really quick to point out that there is nowhere on your diploma that talks about who did it first or who did it fastest, but that you've actually earned a diploma. And so, especially with adult education, we understand that, because it's not like you're 18 or 19 where your only job is to go to school and play around. There's a lot of responsibilities that come along with that. And so we celebrate that, and we celebrate 20 years of hard work and accomplishment that is being realized now. So Mindy, good job for that. I'd also like for you to share with us some of the evangelistic activities you've been involved in.
Yeah, we, you know, evangelism is hard to see where it starts and where it ends because it's so much a part of our lives. But I wanted to highlight three areas that we have seen some beautiful outcomes in our ministry. The first one is a kids camp that we like to call Mega Camp, and it's a sports camp plus. This year we're doing soccer, basketball, outdoor skills, and creative arts, and it attracts a lot of our community. We have a phrase that we like to adopt in our ministry. It goes like this: the people of good faith joining with the people of goodwill to accomplish the good work of the kingdom. And so ministries like this are very collaborative. And so we invite community members to share their skill, maybe a soccer coach that isn't a part of our church. or a Boy Scouts leader that will be teaching like outdoor skills this year, who is not part of our church, but they're not responsible for communicating the gospel. And so their job is to teach a skill. And so we have other leaders who come in and share the gospel. And so last year we had 150 campers, which is a huge percentage in our little town. And we were able to give each camper a gospel cube. We work with One Hope, which is part of Hope for Kids and Kids EE. And so every camper received a gospel cube, and they work through that cube every day of the week. And then also with this ministry, we're also working with our missions team that will be going to Costa Rica this year. And we're hoping to take these gospel cubes and a soccer ball to every child that we get to minister to in Costa Rica. So we're super excited about that. The second area of ministry is our MOPS outreach ministry. This is Moms of Preschoolers, where we create this beautiful environment of belonging. Moms of preschoolers are often isolated, and especially in our little town, there just aren't a lot of resources. And so this has been an outreach and a ministry where we have been able to reach moms who do not come from a church background. They are not coming from a place of faith. And we are able to meet this emotional and relational need while we get to introduce them to Jesus. And so it is just a beautiful relationship there. And then the third area I wanted to share is into the foster care community. We have an organization in our state called Every Child, and it is an organization that partners with the Department of Human Services, Child Welfare, to create a partnership and a bridge between the community and the agency. And this is a space that is very unique, where a state agency is actually asking the faith community for help. And so we get to walk in this special space of caring for families who are inviting children into their home, and be able to create a network of support for them from a place of faith. And so that is another way for us to live out our faith and to share the gospel with those who may have never heard it before.
Well, great, Mindy. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, one of the things we learn more and more in evangelism is that there need to be creative ways in which we do that. And, you know, just going door to door or doing, you know, cold turkey things in the middle of the street, I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but so often we're much more effective as we kind of work into the lives of people and relationships as you're doing. And so that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And congratulations for receiving this evangelism award. Lord bless you.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful.
Yeah. And so I'll turn this over to Dr. Alan Like.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Everybody still here? Wave your hand if you hear me. All right, just making sure. Sometimes people put their pictures on freeze and then go grab an ice cream or something. So I'm glad you're all still here. It's my privilege to introduce to you the three recipients of the Delta Epsilon Chi Honor Society Award. Nazarene Bible College is accredited by the Association of Biblical Higher Education, and they created the Delta Epsilon Chi Society as a way to honor students at the various member institutions. The purpose of the society is to honor and encourage outstanding academic scholarship and approved Christian character and Christian leadership ability among the schools that are part of ABHE, Associated Biblical Higher Education. And there are three recipients of the award this year. The first one in line of the service that I have is Mindy Hain. And Mindy, you have already shared with us a considerable detail about the kinds of things that you've been a part of. I'd like to share with everyone here an example of Mindy and Chris's influence on the lives of others. There's another person who's graduating from Nazarene Bible College this spring. He was a part of their church in Oregon and has relocated to another part of the country. But it was the ministry that Chris and Mindy Haynes shared with him that led to his decision to pursue ministry, and he's completing his degree this spring. So just one of those examples. Mindy, just for a second, touch back on your call starting in 1996. So tell us just a little bit about the process of saying yes over the years to the call and how you processed the process.
Thank you. Yes, my husband and I both received our call in 1996. And where I was at in my understanding and just space of gender roles and what my calling would look like, it was shaped by what I saw rather than necessarily what I understood, what I now understand God to be calling me to. And so it took some time to clarify what specifically God wanted for me. We went to Nazarene Bible College together, and I was able to involve myself in just incredible mentoring relationships. Pastor Jerry Street and Judy, his wife, were incredible mentors of ours and still today. And so through evangelism ministries, I was involved in everything that Pastor Jerry was doing at that time. And that's where the McKithens and our family first met. And so that was a beautiful time. And then creating some foundations for ministry. We then went through some different assignments with, went back to our hometown. And then also we were involved in church planting in Colorado. And so that was a really unique space of ministry to the point where we needed to step back. And we took some time. And it was during that time of quiet and restoration that God was really shaping his call for me. And for those years, we stepped out of the Church of the Nazarene and in ministry just to rest and find a space of restoration. And at the time, I told the Lord, I said, if you ever call us back to the Church of the Nazarene, I will pursue ordination. And I want to see if this is what you want for me. And I did not share that with my husband. And so when we were called back into the Nazarene Church, it was a beautiful space. And some of you on this call had a role in that. And I'm so grateful. And so I was ordained as an elder last weekend on the Oregon Pacific District.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I had a phone call. Thank you for sharing your story and your journey. All of us have similar paths of discovery and the Lord's calling and his graciousness to us. And so we just want to affirm your saying yes to him all along the way. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Another person that received the Delta Epsilon Chi, was elected to the society, is Jeremy Fingar. Jeremy, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. Well, it was a shot. You know, it was a guess. So glad you're here. Jeremy grew up about 2 hours from where I am at the moment in Columbia, Missouri. Let us know where you currently serve.
I'm currently the Corps Officer of the Salvation Army in Terre Haute, Indiana.
All right. And so explain to us that some of us that aren't as familiar with the Army, what does a Corps Officer do?
So along with being the senior pastor of the church, I'm also responsible for its philanthropic endeavors in the community. So every ministry we have, I'm responsible for, as well as all of our community outreach and social good.
Yeah, good. Good, good, good. And this is not Christmas time, otherwise you'd be out ringing a bell someplace, right?
Let us pause to praise Jesus, yes.
good. One of the things that Jeremy wrote in his autobiography for his class, for his classes, is that he has come through sometimes the school of hard knocks or the school of experience to learning that ethical leadership is just key when it comes to being effective, both as a leader and certainly in his witness as a Christian. Would you talk a little more about that and maybe how the work you did at the Bible College helped prepare you for that?
Absolutely. As ministers of the gospel, we have a profound responsibility to tend for the souls that the Lord puts into our care. The scripture bears out that we're held double accountable for that responsibility. And we're still human. We don't always get it right. And there are those situations where we can be called upon to mend back together broken people. And on occasion, the church is responsible for that wounding. Being an ethical leader is the safeguard that protects us from transgressing on Christ's name. And it is important that we have ethical leaders who can be the example to not just the church and the congregation, but to the other ministers as well.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we are often the only Jesus that some will ever see. To quote that song from a few years ago, thank you for embodying that. Today, after you're finished with this phone call, what will you do as the core officer?
I almost immediately I have to go distribute food boxes to the community, that's my 12 o'clock.
That's your 12 o'clock? Yeah. Yeah. And is it an open distribution or is it through a center?
No, it's open distribution here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. And will you go by yourself or with the team?
There's about four of us. It's a team effort. Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. And just one more thing that you wrote in your, autobiography, that you are open to God's direction in every area of your life. So if you had a sense of where he's leading you, what would that be? What would he be asking you to do?
There is sometimes for me personally, I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't excel at being patient. That's not my strong suit. And it is definitely a fruit of the spirit we should cultivate and we should have. And when ministry doesn't move along the perspective that we have, like it doesn't grow the way we think it should, it isn't as productive as we think it should be, we have an opportunity to either accept it as it is and see what God is doing in his timing, which is perfect, or throw our energy, which only leads us to frustration and defeat. And so it's been difficult being a minister of a smaller church. This is the smallest church I've ever been a pastor of, to watch and see the congregation celebrate like one person being added, that kind of thing. And it's been very important for me to understand that the value of a single soul is far greater than I'd ever given consideration to. It isn't always about the numbers. Sometimes it is about the quality.
Yes. Right. Good. That's a good word. Good word for all of us. We, We all have a sense of where we'd like to be, and sometimes it takes us longer to get there. Thanks, Jeremy, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And then Lynette Buck is from Mesa, Arizona still.
Yeah.
Is that right? Born and bred and raised?
Yep.
Yeah, so Dr. Sandy Palm lives in Prescott, Arizona, and Lynette, you're in Mesa, so is that just across the town, or is that a different part of the state?
That's up north, so it'll be about 2.5 hours from here, but that's where our campground is, and that's where I'll be in July for camp meeting. And
all right, good. So. Yeah, and in your autobiography, you tell that you've been a part of the church for most of your life. Talk to us a little bit about your sense of call and how that's developed over the years.
Well, I sensed a call shortly after I was married, so in my early 20s. But then I started the courses through our district, and then I ended up having kids and stuff, and it just kind of went by the wayside. But the church has always been very important to me. And then a few years ago, I just went through a really, really dark time where I was questioning everything, my faith, whether there really was a God. I mean, it was dark, and had a spiritual moment in a prayer service with another lady who came to me, and she said, there's something dark about going on here. And I was released from that. And then I just was journaling and praying, and, you know, I sense this call. I sense this is the way I'm supposed to go. And I was nervous to present it to my pastor and our children's pastor, but I did in a staff meeting, and my children's pastor said, well, it's about time. So, and because she had remembered that I had sensed a call in the past, and my pastor, next thing I know, I'm preaching my first service, my first sermon. So, and it's just been just experiencing new things, trying new things, trying to figure out exactly where this call will lead. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And in your autobiography, you say that you've had a local license and have now a district license for 3 years. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm hoping to be, invited to my ordination interview for next year, for next summer.
Good, 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 good. Well, and for Mindy, Jeremy, and Lynette, it is, you are all witnesses to what it means to pursue and to persist. And you're all witnesses of the grace of God that has made it possible for you to do so and do so well. Each one of these, to everyone else in the room, each one of these folks has excelled scholastically, and then in addition, you've heard from them and their lives have borne witness to the grace of God that's been at work in their lives. Congratulations to all three of you. There's a little side thing that I want to say before we conclude our time. When we first arrived when the office first moved to Lenexa 3 or 4 years ago, we celebrated one of our graduations at Central Church of the Nazarene, so maybe 4 years ago. And those of you that have been around the college for a while know that we have a torch ceremony that every person who graduates from the institution has a chance to hold their torch and to give witness to their life purpose or to another statement. And it's been a tradition that has started in 1970 with the first graduating class. And included in that passing of the torch, it starts with an alum. It goes through the graduating students, and then it's handed to a freshman who says that they will continue the legacy of the torch and serves as an example for the rest of the freshmen. And Lynn Marie Hauser was the freshman, right? 4 years, was it 4 years ago now? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was the freshman. So it's just important for us to see the continued legacy of the college's influence and the lives of the men and women that are part of the school. So Lynn Marie, it's nice to catch up with you.
Very good to see you again. And that particular ceremony was very special for me and my family as well. My best friend who married my cousin was actually in that graduating class. And so there was not a dry eye in my family.
Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you. Well, thanks to everyone for making the time. What we've done today is give witness physically and verbally to the grace of God at work in all of our lives. And we again want to echo the president's words earlier about honoring those who have been honored today. Thank you for your witness to that. I've been asked to close in prayer, so let's do that now. Jesus, this interaction this morning has brought to mind the different places in the gospel where you call fishermen to lay down their nets, and a tax collector to lay down his books, and a zealot to lay down his knife. And they said yes, and they followed. And they told others about you. And the students that are represented here today, that the students here today represent so many others who have been saying yes along the way. Because you called. And in your calling, you cared and equipped and gave us the grace that was needed to continue. So we thank you for all of the ways that you're working. We pray for each of these students' ministries in particular today, and for the people who will get lunch from Jeremy, and for the leaders that will be shaped by Mindy, and the ministry that will be shaped through Lynette and Lynn Marie, and the worshipers that Chris will influence. We ask that your name would be honored and that more people would come to know you as a result of their ministry in your name. And then I want to thank you too for my brothers and sisters that make up the community of faith that's Nazarene Bible College. Continue to guide and to equip and to encourage. And thank you. Thank you for the chance to hear from men and women today who have been influenced by Nazarene Bible College. We ask all these things and give praise to Jesus. Amen.